Time last Sunday at Brother Matthews and Mobile. Brother Bob, Sister Monica, and them were with us. We just had a wonderful service.
That's right.
Wonderful service, we did. Never have. See it work, see it, did that?
It must be you.
This accessory is not supported by this iPad.
Should not agree.
Anyway, these upgrades. So I'm gonna read this though, on statute of purpose, man, if any of you's got your book, it's paragraph 328. It's not gonna be on the screen, but I wanna get this read. I want you to look, but I want you to get this read. Any of you that has the app, the table, you can read along with me. Okay, paragraph 328. Rebecca, you got it on yours? Paragraph 328. Joe's paragraph 328 stay now in building?
Yes.
Okay, yours. I usually try to use the paragraph number because usually it doesn't change. Now, when they started writing the different books and the different fonts, the pages have changed. But usually the paragraphs have stayed the same. So paragraph 328. Today.
What's the sermon?
Today, Trudy. That's your perfect man, what we've been on.
You're only 100 away, it's okay. You can go now, I'll catch up.
Now, in building, the virtue, building this monument, he's talking about building this statue. See, it starts off with the foundation stone, faith. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Now, what does it do? Then they're waiting for the headstone. See, we got to come to a place and wait for the headstone. We're not coming to a place and there it is. We're going to come to a place and wait on it because remember, there's other people in their journey that's got to come to that also. So you may come up here and say, I got brotherly kindness. Where are you at, Lord? Well, that's okay. He might be dealing with you over there, but I'm still down here trying to get my temper out of the way. So, but if God saw me make it, you know what? He's going to wait on me. Right? He's going to wait till I get, some get it first, some can run faster, some can run slower. So you don't all come to the same place at the same time. All right? Same way with adoption and all these other things. All right? We come to these, that revelation. We may sit in a sermon and listen to Brother Dale preach and say, and that's the best I've heard. And God start working with you, and the guy sitting beside him, you're going, you preached that about 2 years ago. I got that, you know. But still, you add to that.
Right.
You add to the revelation. Right? You don't just sit there and sleep and say, well, it's not for me today, Lord.
Right.
Unless somebody gets up and preaches nothing, then you say, well, maybe, Lord, that's for somebody else, not for me. Building this monument, building this stature, see? It starts off with a foundation stone, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godly, brotherly kindness. Now, what does it do? Then you're waiting for the headstone, which is love, for God is love. And He controls. He is the strength of every one of these things. That's right. Yes, sir. Now, stop for a minute and go back to our example of Jesus. Jesus went to the River Jordan at the beginning of His journey. Not the beginning of His life, but the beginning of His journey as the Messiah. He was born the Messiah, but God identified who He was on the River Jordan. Now look, you weren't born Messiah, you become a Messiah. Because you were born in sin. You were born different than He was. He didn't need a new birth. He was born right the first time. So He didn't have to come through a journey and realize He was lost. You know, I pray for me because I'm doing the minister's meeting next time on what happens to the soul at the new birth. So it's going to be a touchy situation. But you know, I thought all these people are saying, well, I always was eternal and I just realized it. And you know, I remember when I got down on my knees and you know when God came to me and saved my soul, I didn't realize I was always eternal. I realized I was lost. Because
yeah.
A realization of me being lost put me on the journey toward realizing that, yeah, I was always eternal with God.
Right.
See?
Right.
Brother Brown preached two ways. He preached God's mind to you, and then he preached to the people that needed it.
Right.
Everybody understand that? Because remember, in God's eyes, Luis Urrego is already eternal.
Yeah.
Never sinned a day in his life. Because remember, one speck of sin in front of God, he has to destroy it. Every person has to voice. Brother Brown said, he can't see you, he hears your voice, through the blood.
Right.
He hears the sinner and the saint.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
But he knows you're a child because he birthed you at the new birth. You're a child of God, but you always were a son. Like Brother Brown said, you always were a son. In the mind of God, you always were a son. Because if he looks at you any other different way, but if he made you a son, that's why I was preaching the other day, chosen in him, not chosen by him. The Bible says chosen in him. So whatever he was in Christ, whatever Christ was, if I've accepted that, that's what I am. But if I was chosen by him, that'd make him a respected person. Right?
That's right.
If I was chosen by him, then Adolf Hitler could walk up to the white throne and say, you chose that man before the world and he had no other choice, and you told me I don't, you're saying that I didn't have a choice, so you can't be a just judge God.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Let's just get real with this. He can walk up and say, oh, well, there's Bob Black standing up there on the podium with you, you know, the white throne. Why is he up there? God says, well, I chose him and I didn't choose you. That ain't right.
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 He'll say, this man, I offered it and he chose it. Therefore, being omnipotent and being all-knowing and being infinite, he could give you an angel at birth. He knows when you're going to get born again. So it's settled with God. But it's not with you. You have come down through permissive will.
That's right.
Yeah.
That Genesis 1 never dropped down into permissive will.
Right.
Genesis 1:26 never came down into permissive will until you received it at the new birth. When you called out to God, it was God calling you, really.
That's right.
You heard from your theophany. You heard from this that God already saw. By foreknowledge, he saw this before the world that you would want it more than Adolf Hitler. And he gave Adolf Hitler a million years. Adolf Hitler would never change his mind. God knows that. So we have to put it into the mind of God. And when Brother Brown says you always was eternal, you never sinned on any day. Now listen, he's lying if he's talking about this guy that was out in the world.
That's right.
I'm going to preach this morning.
Come on.
He's lying if he said that. But he's not looking at that person.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
He's looking at that part of me that, and I had a brother tell me the other day, he said, well, if your soul came to you at the new birth, then that's a pre-existence of soul. I said, there's only one pre-existence of a soul.
Yeah.
And that's Jesus Christ.
That's right.
My soul didn't come to me at the new birth.
That's right.
God's soul came to me at the new birth.
That's right.
Your soul came when you were born.
Hmm?
Your soul came when you were born.
When you were born.
Yeah.
Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. God gave you a soul. Perfect. Able to communicate with this world. But it had a nature on it that was Adamic, that was fallen, that was... You understand how we're preaching here? But you heard from that theophany, that Genesis 1 man. And that Genesis 1 man never failed. Adam fell. But Genesis 1 man that was in him never failed. The flesh man Adam is what sold us out. Brother Brown said, then every soul after that, I got quotes. Brother Brown said, every soul after that has been blackened. Blackened by sin. Because see, then everybody got a choice all the way through. And Adolf Hitler can't say, well, you chose him and didn't choose me. No, God's going to say, Adolf, I came down on December the 4th, 1937, and you turned me down. I would have given you what this man's got if you would have accepted it. Just same way with Abel and Cain. There they stand. Abel and Cain standing here today.
Yeah.
Right? Abel and Cain are standing here today. Abel accepted the sacrifice. Cain could have accepted it and turned it down. To me, that's just as simple, because remember, Genesis starts everything.
Right. Exactly.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a seed prepared with you before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
And when you were young, when you were little, there was not a seed in here.
Right.
It was the Word. Right here is what he knows you're going to accept.
Right.
You're going to accept the seed Word of God.
Right.
And the brother told me, he said, well, what's that deep calling of the deep? It's my free moral agency.
Yeah.
I'm able to do that. There's got to be a deep in there to respond. You know, Brother Brown said that, sure.
Right.
Sure, but it's my choice is what's calling. I chose to call out. I chose to accept. Gotta have fish, gotta have water first, right? So God's here. God's here. He's the water. He's already got it ready for you. But the fish has got to be put in the water to live. Same way with us. So where were we?
29.
Talking about something.
329.
Right in here. Oh, let me get back to my point. Jesus went to the River Jordan and was baptized, and there was a dove came down and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell." Right? Then, about 3 years later, because the Bible said he grew in grace and knowledge and favor with man. 3 years later, he goes upon a mountain, and God says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him." Put his stamp of approval on that man that's me. You got to hear from that man right there. All right, same way with Brother Branham. He goes through all that, down at the river. In 1933, he says, "Your message will forerun," right?
Right.
"Forerun the returning of Jesus Christ."
Yes.
He didn't say you would.
Right.
How many times have you ever, Brother Branham never said, the angel said you would forerun. He said your message will forerun the coming of Jesus Christ. So it's the message, not the messenger, that's forerunning.
We're waiting for him to come back, isn't it?
Hmm?
That's why the people who believe he's going to come back, that's why. Because they think he would forerun the second coming.
Right. But he never said that. Go back and put in all your quotes you want to put. He never said you are to fore. He said your message, or the message, is to forerun the coming of Christ, which is exactly the truth. So there Brother Branham was, and the angel come down and said, "Your message to forerun the second coming of Christ." Then you go skip, 30 years later. 30 years later, 1963 or 62, he goes up on the mountain. God brings the cloud, brings the angels, and says, "Go back to Jeffersonville." In other words, this is when it's going to begin your message. Because remember, 47 to 63 is not what Malachi 4 is supposed to do in its entirety.
Right.
Everybody understand that? But if you do away from 47 to 63, everybody see what I'm pointing at? You do away with 47 to 63, that's a building process. If you say, "Well, no, we just get the third pull, or we just get what Brother Ryan, we're the third pull people." To me, I don't like people preaching stuff like that. But anyway, that's just me. Right here's the third pull.
Yeah.
Right here is the coming back of Christ. When Christ came down to reveal those thunders, to reveal the seals, that's what he came in type. You see what I'm saying? This is it. He comes to divine love you at the new birth. But the apex, or the headstone, remember, it was rejected. Now, I don't know if I'm going to get to it today, but we'll get to it next week. This right from, as I say again, from here to here, the apostles had that.
Yeah.
So Brother Brown didn't bring us a new message, but from 47 to 63, he was bringing the hearts of the fathers, to the children, to the fathers.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Faith of the father, the children, babbling Pentecostal babies, from children to the fathers. Now this is the faith of the fathers. This is Paul. This is all the ones before, back in the first church age. Paul and those people. Peter. That's what was lost down through the church ages. Was this part right here, this position. So God, when he started with Brother Branham, what's the first thing he preached? Matthew 47, look on your table. He started preaching faith. Right? Then his last sermon was communion.
Alright,
so that's what he preached, from faith to communion. But right here is his message. That's the message of Malachi 4.
Yeah.
That William Branham, according to Revelations 10:7, because you can't take just Malachi 4. Malachi 4 is to restore that. But remember, Brother Branham said he'd do two things in the church age book. One, turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And then literally, remember I preached that sermon on literal. Literal is not a type. It's the thing. If you're literally who you are, then that's who you are. You're not a type of anything. And that's this. That's the headstone. That's from when the seals broke to Brother Branham, the headstone came down, sealed him off as an adopted son of God, and God said, "If you're going to hear anything from him..." Because remember, this had already been preached. This had already been preached down through the ages. Paul preached this.
Right.
Peter preached this. Now, John Wesley didn't preach all this. I'm sure he preached some of it, but he didn't come to that. He wasn't required to come to it. You got it? It was eaten down in this church age here. And Brother Claude made a good statement. I read it a few minutes ago. Well, paragraph 330. What's been done? It's manifested through seven church ages and seven church age messengers. He parallels the church ages with the statue of a perfect man. Right? So does everybody understand so far what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
If you don't raise your hand, I'll say it again. Don't worry about it. I don't want to lose anybody. But this was preached by Paul, Peter, James, John, probably even Irenaeus, and some by Martin. But then it got eroded here in this age, and it was eaten away. Go back to the bride tree, or go back to Joel. Right? It was eaten away, and this was all lost. So Brother Branham came back to preach us to here. I will restore. This is a restoration. Okay? He will restore, right, all those things that were lost. But this had never been preached only by one person. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the headstone. Right? He's the headstone. Jesus Christ was the headstone. Still is the headstone.
Right?
But remember, all through the Bible and all the pyramids, this was left off. Why? Man couldn't understand it. They got him in partial down here. Remember, we were talking about putting a little line right there. That's the cornerstone. The pyramid is a little pyramid. Then it grew into a great mountain. But this right here is what caps everything off. This right here, Brother Brown says, paragraph 329, right in here, you see I got in between all these works in here. Now, the original copy, I've seen it one time, but I haven't seen it since. He's got Holy Spirit right here, and there's waves coming down through here. You remember in Sister Shepherd's dream, she saw water flowing out, right? The Holy Spirit coming down through Christ, see, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is above all this, welding this together. Now see, once you've reached this right here, He's welding you together. Got it? He's welding you together. Down here, He's putting you together. That was good. I just got that. Sometimes I can come up. Praise the Lord. But now see, He's putting you together here. See, but you put the studs up of a house and not put one nail on it and go, and they'll all go. But once you put them, you put your nailing it together. He says right here, He says welding it together. So there must be a piece there to weld. You can't weld air.
And a nail can come out.
Which that happens down here. Brother Brown said, though, if you cinch that nail, which means you drive that nail down and it's sticking out about that far, yeah, it'll hold for a little while. But something can pull it out, or something can knock it over. But if you drive that thing down, boy, them pneumatic guns that we got, it'll drive them nails out of sight. Well, there ain't no way you can get hold of that and pull it back out. So the pneumatic nail of God's Word is nailing us together, welding us. So there's got to be two pieces to weld. You can't weld one piece. All you're doing is putting a little solder on the end of something. Welding it together is that. And that's what He's doing with us. He's welding us together, building a what? A perfect church for the capstone to cap it off. We have to go. Let me start. We'll start there next Sunday. He says, when will it? When's it been? What's it been doing? Manifested through seven church ages. If we can't get this thing working, if y'all can't bring your book or bring your tablet or whatever. He says, starting back here, where was the church first founded? Where was the Pentecostal church first founded? By St. Paul at Ephesus to start the Ephesus church age. Then he goes through, and then we'll talk about the rest of it.